man. I did not enjoy this.
I have so many pages of notes. And part of it is that I watched it on, I want to say, Monday. So I watched it like several days ago. And I wanted to make sure that I remembered everything. But this movie made me feel a certain way.
Okay. I mean, I personally, I watched it last night. I know what I told you, I was going to watch it Monday. And then when we realized we were going to record tonight, I was like, okay, I have another, you know, 2 days. I don't have to
rush. Yeah, and so then you waited to the last minute.
Yes, I did. And I'm kind of glad I did because I quickly, like, I was looking at my notes today. I print them out, whatever. And I always print them out and I highlight what I want to make sure I go over and everything. And as I'm reading them, I'm like, wait a minute, what happened? But, like, I'm forgetting it already. I'm glad I watched it as close to today as possible because I'm clearly trying to block it out of my memory.
Yeah, I mean, the primary emotion that was elicited from me was frustration because I think this movie tried really hard and failed really hard. It's like watching somebody do something, a simple task, and just watching them biff it.
Yes.
Times, and you're like, stop, no, 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 no. And like in your head, you're just like, no, 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 don't do that. Do this instead. And they don't do it. And then people die. And it's just like, why? None of this had to happen.
None of it.
Anyway, let's get into it. This is I Hate It, Let's Watch It. I'm Loony Lisa.
Oh, there we go. There we go. And I'm just Dawn.
Dawn does not feature in this movie. I was so excited because there's been so many movies we've covered that have had Dawns in them.
But surprisingly, this is, I think,
the first one that has a Lisa. And not just a Lisa, a Loony Lisa.
A Loony Lisa. And I wrote in my notes, I'm calling you that from now on.
A Loony Lesbian Lisa.
A loosey-goosey Lisa for sure.
We are discussing a movie called Shattered that I had no idea existed. And it's not that old. But no. It doesn't really have a lot of well-known people in it, so
actually, more than I anticipated, the three guys are pretty pretty well-known. So we have Cameron Monaghan, which people know from Shameless, Gotham.
Yeah.
So really great actor there. John Malkovich, obviously. I mean, I don't think we have to really give his credentials. And then Frank Grillo, he's in a lot. He's one of those who's like, just his face is memorable because he's just in a lot.
He looks like a bad guy too. Is he a bad guy in a lot of things?
Mostly. And I'm pretty, and
kind of has that look.
I want to say he's also a soap star to an extent.
Okay.
Very possible. But no, he's got a memorable face, but she, I have no idea who she is. No, Sasha something. No idea.
Possibly with good reason. I didn't love her acting most of the time. Sometimes it was fine, but other times it was really bad, and that was hard to get past. And then the role of his ex-wife, or soon-to-be ex-wife, was kind of strangely cast because she is Swedish or some accent is occurring.
That whole family was thrown together.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm assuming they adopted because the skin color ain't matching over there. Got like the whitest white people you could possibly find and a black child. Yes. So
a very brave, smarter than the rest of them child.
This girl. Can I tell you how horrified I was by the ending of this movie? I was disturbed by how this movie ended, and we will get there. But I, the reaction I had, I couldn't believe my eyes.
It was a lot. It took predictable turns.
Especially if you watched the trailer.
The trailer gave everything away.
Fucking everything away. And I, like, fine, if you want to give away that she's a bad person, okay. But then the part where he almost escapes and then is brought right back to her by this guy who you assume would only ever assume is just a bystander, and then it turns out he's involved, and it's like, that was in the trailer?
Right.
Why would you give that away? That would be a great moment in the movie to be like, whoa, what?
Yeah, that's the turning point. That's the part where you're like, oh, shit, like, you want that. And then the whole movie was in the trailer. The whole thing.
We get a little bit more about the motives, I suppose. And I actually thought from the trailer it was going to be a bit more torture porny.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't so much that. But yeah, we can talk about the motive in a little bit.
Yeah.
We should set the scene because we have to introduce our curious cast of characters here. So the movie focuses on Chris, who is a tech geek millionaire, billionaire, whatever.
Yeah.
He invented a home security system, which he should be ashamed of.
Figure. God. Cold watchdog, by the way.
Fucking idiot. So he sold his company, made tons of money. But I guess along the way, he spends a little bit too much time on his work. And so he alienated his wife and child, who I believe they say is 5.
Yeah, she's got to be older than that, right?
Again, when we get to the end of the movie, okay, we can discuss it. But, like, I thought the actress looked older. I thought she looked maybe 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
And also just what she does at the end of the movie, I'm like, a 5-year-old? My niece currently is 5.5 years old. And to imagine her in that scenario, I cannot.
No.
I'm already getting so frustrated.
Right? So, it's like watching it as I'm typing. I'm furiously typing because the entire thing just, you can't help but make fun of it. You really can't.
You can't. So Chris is all mopey because he doesn't want a divorce, but his wife is pretty set on it. So he is just sad boy sad. And he goes to the grocery store to buy himself a little pint of ice cream that he can cry into. And he happens to notice this blonde woman in the next aisle looking for wine. And she calls over to him and she's like, oh, I know nothing about wine. Can you help me? And this is the part where I was like, oh, I don't enjoy her acting.
No. And it gave me a movie that we watched and said we wouldn't do because we loved it too much. It gave me the whole Fresh meet cute.
Yes. Why was I was just thinking about this movie the other day and I'm like, I can't believe that happened to me that I watched that movie.
You did. And
I think it was because I was thinking about how I went off meat for a long time because I just couldn't get past it in my brain of like, oh my God. I can't. Red meat. I still eat chicken.
So yeah, it was giving me like the reversal on that meet cute because it was like,
yeah,
she's more the predator and then he's the innocent one. But right. Yeah, I mean, nothing good comes from those kind of meet cutes at all.
No. And for somebody who is, I would say, probably out of practice picking up women or flirting or just being back in the dating world in general, and for someone who was just super sad about his looming divorce, he seems DTF talking to this woman.
Yeah.
And even though the conversation kind of ends there in the store, he runs into her outside of the store and she's like, oh, my Uber got canceled. And he's like, let me drive you home. And it's like, sir, you are too eager.
Yeah. I mean, put your dick away.
It's giving premature ejaculation.
Yeah. Like, your dick is driving the car right now. He's on the wheel because...
Look, Ma, no hands.
Basically.
So she accepts the ride and they get back to her apartment and she's like, oh gosh, my roommate, Loony Lisa, she's still awake and I was hoping she would be asleep. We got into this huge fight and I really didn't want to go back there. And then he's like, oh, well, you could come back to my place and we can wait till she falls asleep and then I'll bring you back. And at first she's like, no. And she gets out of the car, but then she hesitates. And then he's like, how about it? And she's like, okay. So then they go back to his house. They consume the bottle of wine. Like, she's chugging.
Yeah.
Downs the full glass right away. And they're just doing the chit-chatty, getting to know each other stuff. This is where we find out about his job and whatever.
And she's eating his ice cream, just saying.
Right, she does eat his sad boy ice cream. Yeah. They toast to sudden adventures, which is so cringe.
Sudden adventures. Boy, are you in for an adventure.
Yikes. So she says she's a model, but it wasn't fulfilling. So she was out here on some gig and then she ended up staying and now she works as a cocktail waitress. And she implies that like Lisa was a stranger when they moved in together and that Lisa has a drug problem, et cetera, which prompts Chris to be like, well, maybe you should spend the night then because danger.
Yeah.
And then this is when they start kissing.
The most awkward
he
kissing
just, like,
I've ever seen.
He shoves his thumb in her mouth.
Oh, the whole thing. It was the most...
The whole thumb.
And his moaning was very awkward.
Full thumb penetration. They both act like this is the sexiest thing that either of them has ever done in their entire lives.
Who needs a dick?
It is a thumb in your mouth, girl. Calm down.
He was more... But you know what, though? I did notice he seemed way more into that than she was. Like,
do you know what I have found? That some guys do like this because it kind of hits the part of their brain that makes them think about a blowjob.
Makes sense.
So, like, I do think that some guys like this, but not all girls do. And it was the aggressive way that he put the thumb in her mouth. He was going to trigger her gag reflex if he went much further.
He had a long thumb.
He did have a long thumb.
Sorry, Cameron. I don't mean to diss your thumb, but...
We're judging you and your long thumb.
It was, I mean, between that and just his moaning of, like, ugh, I wasn't turned on by it at all. None of their sexual encounters going forward.
No, especially because I think the next one is when he's still wearing his cap. Oh, my God. Sir, are you not in, like, unspeakable pain?
Like, she's just bouncing on top of him, and you see that leg just, like, that cast is going to shatter.
What is that? I cannot with this movie. So anyway, she spends the night in the sexy way, mm-hmm. and then he wakes up alone because she somehow gets back to her apartment by herself. And this is where we see her, well, I guess Lisa's landlord.
Yeah.
They're kind of roommates, but, like, not really. He's watching her and he's, like, chanting shame like he's in Game of Thrones.
Yes, I wrote that down as well.
Like, all right, creep. I couldn't decide how I felt about this guy because... He was definitely a pervert.
Yeah.
But he also seemed to have genuine concern for Lisa. So I wasn't really sure what I needed from him.
Yeah.
I wasn't fully getting it. Lisa and Sky argue about where she's been all night. You can tell that they're in a relationship, a dysfunctional relationship, mm-hmm. and that Lisa is definitely way more into it than Sky. Sad for her.
Yeah.
So we cut back to Chris, who is at home staring at a picture that his daughter Willow drew. And then at first I thought he was watching home videos because he's hearing a conversation of him talking to Willow. But they never actually show where that dialogue is coming from. So now I'm thinking it was just an internal memory.
I think so.
That's fucking weird, man. Like, that was bizarre.
And it was just, and it was a random, like, are we trying to...
It was unnecessary.
Yeah.
We get it. You love your daughter and you miss her. Like,
yeah, it was very like...
We've already got that.
He's a doting dad. We have to remember that.
Oh, yeah, sure. So Chris goes to the restaurant where Sky said she worked because he doesn't have her number to contact her again. And he basically shows up there and she's like, oh, are you stalking me? And he's like, he says, don't get excited. I'm only here because my ex-wife told me to move on with my life. Ouch.
Yeah, that was rough. That was very rough.
What did he think he was accomplishing with that? Because then, like, within the next 12 hours... He does, like, a total 180, and he's like, I love you. What is with this man?
That's what I'm saying. Like, the writing, this script was weird.
He's so damaged.
It's so bad. And it just, that was a bad line. That was a really bad line.
I was like, bro, what the fuck? He tries to salvage it. She seems fine. And then she takes a beer on the road, and they go walking back to his car. And Sky tells him that she's damaged goods.
A little worse than that.
Yeah, what even is that, first of all? And second of all, she apparently told him. She says, like, I lied about my childhood. And he was like, wait, so you were in a gypsy? And I was like,
what?
Yeah. What? A gypsy? What? First of all, offensive term. Mm-hmm. Second of all, when? When did you say that?
Yeah, when
that?
Did this conversation?
Miss that conversation?
You were a gypsy model?
When your thumb was in her mouth, was she telling you all about her gypsy origins? So she's like, no, I was passed around in foster homes a lot when I was a kid. My parents, did she say they died or something? I don't even.
But it's that typical story of like, like an oh, woe is me.
Yeah, I come from a troubled background, and my favorite part was Chris, like, yeah, me too. My parents just, like, weren't there for me. Like, okay, definitely the same trauma. Thank you, rich boy. We're good. Right. So they get back to his car, and they see a man actively trying to break into it. So he's like, get the fuck away, and the guy's not listening. So Sky throws her beer bottle at him, which prompts him to attack. And Chris, of course, the hero that he is defending Sky. And this other dude just beats the shit out of his leg, essentially. He ends up with a full leg cast. Yeah. Like, it goes all the way up to his hip. So he needs help, obviously. So Sky takes him to the hospital and then brings him home. And he said that he hired a private nurse, but then she basically convinces him to dismiss her and make her his nurse.
Right, she's basically like, I'll give you all the sex you want. It's like, okay.
That's not really what you need in your recovery, no. But sure. Like, he's so fucking head over dick for this
woman.
I don't get it either. Like, what about this has given you good vibes? So basically that means Sky gets to live with him. So he gives her his security mm-hmm. codes, and she leaves to go get her stuff from the apartment. When she goes back to the apartment, the landlord, he seems to be Lisa's only friend, which is really upsetting to me. Like, Lisa seems like a really pathetic person, and I feel very bad for her.
I also feel like she never left that room.
No, and I do, you know, I thought that Sky was just trying to slander her by implying she had a drug problem, but I do think she had a drug problem.
Definitely had a drug problem.
So I think she's got bigger problems maybe than Sky. So they're fighting, making up, whatever. Lisa says she'll die if Sky leaves her, which is a totally normal and healthy thing to say in a relationship. And they start making out, and they seem to be, like, progressing to a sexual encounter, but we don't get to see it.
No, boo.
Boo. So then back at Chris's place, Sky wakes Chris up from a nap, and then they start making out, and she tells him she loves the taste of him, which is gross. And they also have this, like, romantic moment in the hot tub, where she's in the hot tub, and Chris is just, like, dipping his
one leg in, one leg out.
It's like, this is so stupid. Why would you, like, suggest this activity?
Let me tell you, though, that house, those views, phenomenal.
It's a nice house. Yeah, I don't really know where they are. Did they say?
No, I don't either, and I'm gonna bring this up later because I have a question about it.
Okay, fabulous. Basically, this is when Chris tells Sky he's in love with her. And she's like, oh, it's the drugs. But he's like, no, I totally love you. And she's like, no, I love you too. And then they discover Lisa's body.
Yes.
And so Ronald discovers her body in the bathtub. She's naked. Her wrist is slashed. It looks like a suicide.
Yeah, I mean, both of them. It was bad. And it's the only boob shot we got.
Well, we see profile boob.
Yeah, but this was like
when they're boning
on, and it's like, oh man, not the tit shot we wanted.
Yeah, dead boobs are not sexy.
No.
So that's very disturbing. And then Ronald speaks to the police, and he tells them that, like, Lisa was upset, but she wasn't really, like, suicidal.
Right.
And the police, for some reason, just openly tell him that Skylar doesn't exist. This is an active police investigation, and they're just, like, revealing information about
right, like, there's no
who is lying.
Yeah, there's no, you know,
doing.
There's no paper trail of this person, da da da. But the best is that, like, Ronald is just like, this is my, like, 15 minutes of fame. And he had a whole mm-hmm. speech prepared about the motel, and, like,
yes.
It was kind of cute and funny, but also, like,
they're like, we don't give a right. shit about your stupid hotel. Somebody is dead in one of your rooms.
Somebody died. This is not the time.
Yeah. So this is when Jamie, the ex-wife, calls about the divorce papers, and Chris tells her about his leg, and then Jamie offers to bring Willow to visit on Friday morning. Yep. By the way, we have no idea what day of the week it is.
No, we don't.
Friday morning means nothing to us.
No, they tried to make it specific, and it really had no meaning. And then he's waiting for Sky to come back.
to get out of the shower.
Okay. I'm screwing this all up because I'm now.
No, it's okay. I have my details.
Good, because I'm at the, which I gotta talk about, the fried chicken part.
Oh, yes. We're not there yet.
Okay, thank you.
The only reason he's able to identify Lisa is because he finds these photos, which is fucking stupid. So anyway, Chris goes looking for Skye after he hangs up with the ex-wife, and she's in the shower. So naturally, he decides it's a good time to snoop through her purse. And he finds almost immediately there's like a photo booth film strip with pictures of Skye and Lisa acting very much like a couple. And she catches him in the act, but she's not upset. She's like, I would have done the same thing. Nobody is who they say they are. So that's totally fine. And then she asks him to dry her back. Dry her back. Is that something you've ever needed help with?
No, because when I put a towel around myself, it gets my back.
Right.
That's the first place it does. Dry off.
Right, that's one of the first locations the towel even goes to. Whatever. So then they bone again. Mm-hmm. And this is when I was concerned for his leg, because yep. He has a full leg cast. And literally 12 hours ago, he said to her that his body hurt so much it felt like his entire right side was going to fall off. So like, yeah, definitely bone. This is also when, after he falls asleep, Skye goes into Willow's bedroom and sings a very creepy song about all children going to heaven while she's cuddling a stuffed animal.
Also, I had a comment about the room. That house is gigantic and that daughter's room is like a closet size. I'm like, yeah. Really? Like, you couldn't give her a little extra space? I mean, and it looks so cramped because it had like obvious like...
It had so much stuff in it.
So much stuff in it. That teepee was kind of fucking cool, though.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why. Maybe it looked smaller because it was so cluttered.
But, yeah, I was going to write down the song, and I was like, nah, this is weird. I don't like it.
It was something about all children going to heaven.
Yeah, like, good, like, yeah, something about, like, good children always go to heaven, but...
It was all children. It wasn't even good children.
Oh, all of them do?
All children.
Oh, okay.
They all go to heaven. Straight to heaven.
Good to know.
Not some of the kids I've
met. No, same.
So... Now we're up to the part where Chris wakes up in the morning, he can't find his phone, and he's going all over.
And the charger. The whole thing's gone. Because he had, like, one of those, everything. Like, desk chargers where it's, like, a base.
Like a wireless charging mat or
right.
something.
And
on the nightstand.
Whole thing's gone.
All gone. So he makes his way down to the kitchen, and thank God he's got these three TV screens that are always on, I guess, and one of them always has the news channel showing.
Yeah, that was actually a cool thing. That has, like,
yeah, but it reminds me of somebody who would be like a trader, somebody
yeah.
who need to be watching new like stock tickers or like like whatever kinds of feeds. Like you don't like the normal person doesn't really
right.
Need
I don't need the weather
tickers.
Up and then just like a video of something.
Right, they do have access to the security cameras there too, mm-hmm. which I guess if you're really concerned about your security, you could just always be able to see the outside of your house. But whatever. So he sees the news report that Lisa was dead. Mm-hmm. And this is when Skye walks in, super casual, and is like, I got the fried chicken. Are you hungry?
Super obsessed with him eating.
Yeah. Like, she doesn't want to talk about anything else.
That she just murdered her
friend.
Until
they have their chicken. Yeah. Right. Because he's like, I can't find my phone. She's like, oh, it's around here somewhere. I'll help you look for it.
After we eat.
After we eat. And can I tell you, I really want fried chicken.
It looked really fucking good.
It looked good, and she was like, oh, can you smell this? And I'm just like, yes, I can. I feel like I can. This movie is in, like, 4D, and I can smell the fried chicken.
His house has all these very cool powers, and we could smell the chicken through the screen.
So finally he's like, yo, your roommate is on the news. She is dead. Don't you want to call the police? And she's like, that would be really stupid because I killed her. And he's like, what?
The best was, though, like, I have to admit, her acting here was a little, I liked it, because she gave off that, like, super nonchalant when she said it, because not only is she like, I'm the one that killed her, but she just keeps eating the chicken.
Right.
And it was like, I don't give a fuck. I'm hungry.
I've never seen the show, and I know you have, so maybe you can confirm this for me. But I don't know why, based on the commercials I've seen, in this moment, she was kind of reminding me of What's-Her-Face from Killing Eve.
Yes. Yes.
Like, similar energy.
Jodie McComber. Oh, 100%. It definitely gives that vibe, where it's that nonchalant, this is my job, this is what I do,
right.
and nothing really else, like, phases me, kind of.
Right.
Well, yes, yeah. that it is a very good
oh, good. I'm glad. Yes, comparison. So she kind of dissolves into the whole explanation of what's going on here. She explains that she has literally been stalking him for 2 months.
Intense stalking.
Spying on him with a telescope from Lisa's apartment and tracking his schedule.
He had a great schedule, by the way. It's very me. He's like, you don't have visitors. You only go... Yes.
You only you go grocery shopping at night.
You only go two places ever. Yeah, that's pretty much how I live.
Yeah, I know. And like, I really thought it seems like this apartment or house was very remote, but it's within telescope distance of
like it's the just apartment. Yeah, it's like just up the hill from a town. So it's like the Grinch, kind of.
But even closer, I feel like at least the Grinch has some privacy.
True.
He seems to not be quite, it felt different, especially when he's like trying to escape. It seems like he's out in the middle of fucking nowhere, but like people can probably see him from the town. So
that is true.
What is happening?
Yeah, from the town, you're seeing the house. I mean, the telescope is just to get more detail, but you are seeing the house from there.
Right. So now that she has his phone, she has control over his own security system, which feels like a flaw in the system, but here we are. So she locks him in, and then when he tries to get his phone back, she tases him, and he goes down. So when he wakes up, she has him bound and gagged in his wheelchair. And this is when when she explains that the whole purpose of this is identity theft, but like not really. It's more just like
stealing his money.
Yeah, robbery. Because she doesn't want to steal his identity. She wants to steal his money.
Right, and she just
using him to
exactly
do it.
Like I kind of just need you for codes and stuff, and that and she right. I loved her threatening, like, because then she goes into a drawer and she's like, look at this amazing drill I got, because this is going to get you to tell me everything. And at this point she takes it and she's like, what's your mom's maiden name?
Yeah.
It was, she had a drill in her hand, but also, like, it wasn't as threatening as I think she wanted it to sound.
I don't know. I thought she was going more for, like, unhinged psycho, because she was smiling. She's like, what's your mother's maiden name?
Yeah.
And, like, she seemed like she was completely batshit. And I found that maybe a little bit scarier than if she had tried to go straight face with him and went that way.
Yeah, that's true.
The only the only issue I have with this movie, there's just one.
Only one.
And it is, why would you not just give her everything she wants?
Yeah, you're not exactly in the place right now
to fight her off,
to threaten, like, to threaten her to escape,
right,
to take care of yourself at all, really.
Yeah, she's threatening you with a drill. Even if you don't think she's capable of it, is your money that much more important to you than your life,
potentially? Which I believe is the point of the divorce.
I mean, maybe. I
mean, she even said it, I think, in the hinted at it when they were like on their call, and he said,
well, he said he sold the company, and then she was like, well, it's too late, or whatever.
Right, because I think he said something like, oh, or she was saying something, he's like, oh, you think it's just because, like, I just care about money, or something. Like, he says it like that, where it's like, you're like, okay, here we go.
I never got the impression that the issue with his job and his family was that he was interested in making as much money as possible. I really thought it was he just spent too much time working, that he loved
that,
his
work, right,
and was so obsessed with it. And even later, that dude, the stepfather dude, is like, I targeted you because you're not using your money. Like,
that was
have
also
all this wealth and you're not using it.
That was weird. I wrote that down because I didn't understand.
It's bullshit. I mean, it's absolute bullshit. So I don't think his money really means anything to him, unless it was like money he wanted to give to his daughter. But like, even that doesn't really come up. So for me, and they say this all the time at jobs where you work a cash register, or even if you're getting mugged or something, just give
it.
People what they're asking for. Is it really worth risking your life mm-hmm. or serious injury to save your money? You can get more money. You can get more phones. Like,
right, especially somebody like that. I mean, at that point, you have the means to come up with more.
Right.
You did it once. Your brain did it once. You can do it again.
What I don't understand about the scheme, the one thing I don't understand.
Okay.
Is it sounds like this is a scheme that they've run multiple times.
Yeah, I picked up on that too.
On multiple victims. And how are they not getting caught? Do they kill their victims? Or do they literally just rob them blind and then... But like, if they're picking high profile people like this, I find it incredibly difficult to believe that this is working.
Yeah, and that they're under the radar. It's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't... Unless they're just picking people in the most obscure locations. I mean, because, I mean, there's millionaires, billionaires, and shit that nobody fucking knows their name.
I guess.
But that's...
But if
that's
they turned up dead and all of their accounts have been evacuated recently, that doesn't look suspicious to anybody.
I mean, yeah.
Anyway,
sorry.
I think it's still too early to get into
this. It is, because we still gotta get to the Ronald of it all.
Yeah. And I still don't know the dad's name. I don't think, did they ever give him a name?
No. I don't think so.
Okay. So anyway, she threatens him with this drill. He is refusing to give her any information. So she drills through his cast into his leg. And there is blood going all over. Like, you idiot.
Yep.
While this is going on, Ronald is going through Lisa's apartment to clean it out, I'm assuming. And he sees the telescope set up in the window. He's like, huh, this is weird. And then looks through it and kind of notices that you can see the houses that are in the hills nearby. He was spying on some lady doing naked yoga for a little while. And then when she stops, he gets bored and he looks back at Chris's house and he sees that Sky is there.
Yeah. He's like, naughty, naughty.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know what's going on here, but I am suspicious. So, aside from that, we're back to Chris, who is, like, now in real bad shape. He asks Sky if that is her real name, and she doesn't answer him. And no. She comes back with a pair of scissors, and she tells him that she wants him to liquidate all of his assets so she can fund her new company, Skyco. Is that true, or is that just some bullshit? I think
it has to be bullshit.
Okay, cool, because it sounds like bullshit. So he, unfortunately, she's going to, like, cut off his shirt for some reason. Oh, because she wants to clean him up because she has to take him to the bank so he can do stuff. Or, no, he has to make calls and whatever, and he has to look good. So he's an idiot, and he tries to choke her while she's cutting off
his shirt. He got pretty close until...
He did until she stabbed him in the shoulder with the scissors.
Mm-hmm.
So now he really doesn't look presentable for any sort of investors or bankers. She then threatens his family. So, like, again, why are we escalating to this? Like, just give the woman what she wants.
Right, at this point, like, you're testing her more.
Right, just go along with
it. And you had to have known that she would, like, that was the next part of it.
Yeah, right. Like, she must, if she's been spying on you for 2 months, she knows you have a family.
Yeah.
And she is obviously not going to be the kind of person who feels bad about using that against you. So now the guy who blew out Chris's knee shows up at the house to take all of his furniture and art, etc.
Yeah, she's liquidating the entire... She's getting rid of everything.
She's getting every fucking penny.
Which, you know what? It's funny. Not that I wouldn't have thought of that, but, like, the paintings, yes, 100%. Because they made it aware throughout any of the scenes. They were showing you the paintings throughout. Like, they made sure to show, like, the background and that there was this painting on this wall and this one on this one.
What kind of douche has a Picasso, though?
I mean, that was the only decent-looking one. Other ones, I was
kind of... Such a weird flex to have, because it doesn't seem like he's a big art person.
No, but I think that's just a rich thing to do.
Right, it's like just to have a
Picasso. I need to fill my walls with art, and
yeah,
that's how that goes.
Stupid.
Yeah.
So Kiju is the guy, the other guy. He drives off with all this stuff. Then Ronald shows up at the house, and Chris is screaming, trying to get his attention. And Sky has also left. I guess maybe she's going with him to sell all the crap. But Ronald is there by himself, so he breaks a window to get into the house, which triggers a notification to Sky's phone, which I feel like Chris should have thought of because Ronald finds Chris and for some reason is just not really super concerned about helping him whatsoever. No. And then decides, I might as well extort him too.
Part of me thought he was in on it. Like, we're going to find out he's in on it. And then I'm like,
but that wasn't in the trailer, so.
True. That did not. Right.
We're not pulling any punches that were not in the trailer. So Ronald's like, I'll take this Picasso.
Yeah, he asks how much it goes for, and I'm like, that is fucking insane.
That's what I mean. It's a $6 or $7 million painting. Why would you just have that? It should be in a museum. Why do people, whatever. Especially if you're not like a big art person, and they never really play that up about him. It's not like he's really passionate about the art, whatever. Anyway, so Chris is like, fine, take the painting. So then Ronald is trying to unwrap him from this wheelchair. And Chris is like, no, dude, you got to call the police. And Ronald's like, I don't have a phone, like the 4Gs and or 5Gs.
Yeah.
And
he's like, radiation. I was like, what is happening?
It's like, well, that's going to kill you, Ronald. So I hope you enjoy not having a cell phone for stupid reasons. So Skye comes back to the house and she locks them all in. And then Ronald grabs a knife and takes his painting. And he's trying to negotiate with her to kind of just let him go.
Yeah.
And then Chris is like, no, you need to kill her. But then Ronald runs off. Skye goes after him. And this gives Chris his chance to escape. But we have to talk about this, and it's reminiscence of when Veronica killed Chad in Riverdale. That's what this scene made me think of, because she put on the Flight of the Valkyries while she was basically hunting Chad through her apartment. And in the movie, she puts on Beethoven's Fifth Symphony while she hunts Ronald.
And of course, she is in all white, because that's what has to happen when you're about to stabby stab with a Japanese sword.
A katana?
A katana, yes. Which I love that they...
A normal weapon that one has around.
They give you that view earlier in the movie of it. Mm-hmm. And I actually wrote down, I'm like, that's going to be a callback.
That's going to be a murder weapon.
Yep. And for sure it is. I have to admit, though, this movie was not big on the gore.
It wasn't. No, because a lot of things, like, it was implied violence, and they would kind of pan away, or at least they would just show you the blood spatter and not necessarily what was happening to cause the blood spatter.
Circa Bunny Man.
Yikes.
Oh.
I would watch this movie again before I watch Bunny Man again, though.
Fair.
Like, I wouldn't like it, but if I had to.
Yeah.
So, anyway, while they're squabbling and Skye stabby stabs, Chris makes it to the car, but it's locked. And then he manages to get onto, what was this thing?
Okay, so it looked
like I thought it was a motorcycle.
Like a snow motorcycle?
A snow bike?
A snowmotorcycle. Oh my god. If that is not the name of it, we need to get to
suddenly get into this market. A snowmotorcycle. He makes it onto the snowmotorcycle, but I guess he's never driven one before, and he
goes fucking
wipes out.
Flying. he hits
into the road.
Yes, right into the road. Now, this is where my question is. A car pulls up. Did you get a look at the license plate?
Oh, no, I didn't. Or if I did, I don't remember.
Okay. It's early 1990s New York license plate.
No way!
What time frame are we in? Given the technology,
it's futuristic. It's, yes. Yeah, the technology.
But there's no way you have those plates anymore. You can't. They won't let you.
Yeah, they'll recall them.
But it was the old school white with the Statue of Liberty in the middle and the red. And I was like, I had to rewind it because I'm like, that was an old New York license plate. There's no fucking way that that's real.
Okay. And then, so I guess we're assuming this takes place sort of upstate in a remote upstate region.
There we go.
Riverdale, perhaps.
Aha. Uh-huh. That's where they got it from. That's where they got their license plate from.
Oh my God. They went to the set of Riverdale and just pilfered. So anyway, this man in a yellow convertible almost runs him over with his car, but he stops just in time, pops out, and he's like, you gotta help me. This lady's trying to kill me. Call 911. So the man is driving, and he offers to call 911 from his phone, and he hands the phone to Chris, who is telling them his address and what's going on and whatever. And it's a woman on the other end of the line. And because we've seen the trailer, yeah. like, we know.
This whole scene is in the trailer. This entire thing.
Yeah, exactly. We know it's Skye. So this guy is obviously in on it. And then they get back to the house. And, like, Chris does not realize that he's just driving him directly back to his own house.
Yeah.
For some reason. That would be my first thing, would be, like, you need to turn around.
I think he starts to, but then he's, like, already in the driveway. But yeah, and then
he didn't get very far.
No, and he pulls up, and you just see Skye standing there, just covered in blood.
Covered in blood.
And then his name's Sebastian, by the way.
So oh, thank you.
Sebastian okay. just knocks him out.
I don't recall that name coming up at all.
I don't think they said it, but I just IMDb'd it because I had to.
Got you. Okay.
Yeah, so he like knocks him out in the car, and then they bring him in the house.
They bring him inside. Skye tells him, Sebastian, that she killed her landlord, and he responds, that's a good way to save on rent.
Yeah. Great line.
Jesus. So then it's revealed that Sebastian is Skye's stepfather.
Ooh.
Meanwhile, they have already kissed romantically. Not a little peck on the cheek, hey dad, what's up? No, they're intimate. They're intimate lovers.
That we find out late. Oh, that's a line yeah. I need to repeat.
Great. Yeah, well.
We'll get there. Yes.
So I think it's implied that Sebastian murdered Skye's mother.
Yeah, because he said she got sick under unfortunate circumstances. You know,
yeah, like, he said like she died like unexpectedly or something. Like it's sketchy. So, you know, Sebastian, of course, has to put his two cents in about the whole operation. And like I just wrote in my notes. So the motive here is eat the rich, essentially.
Yeah.
They're just mad at rich people for having money. So they run this scheme and steal all their money.
And that was his thing, like where he says, because you weren't using it. Like, oh, what? Like,
yes.
And it's like, okay, well.
Yeah, he's like, why me? Why did you target me? And Sebastian literally says, because you weren't using it. It's like, how did you want him to use it?
Yeah, I mean, look at this place. I mean, what is he going to use it for?
What are you going to do with it? Are you going to squander it
drugs? I feel like it was more of a like, well, what do you need it for? It's just sitting there?
Yeah.
Which, it was a weird way to word it.
It comes out at this point that there's more money in these banker's bonds that they need they need his thumbprint to access the safe deposit box or whatever. So obviously in the state that he's in, he can't go to the bank. So they just chop that thumb. But maybe it was the same thumb that was in her mouth.
Blech.
Now that I think about it.
Interesting.
They just chop that baby right off.
Nice callback. But prior to that, he's sitting there and you just hear Sebastian and Skye boning in the next room. Like hardcore boning. And she comes out and she says to Chris, sorry, I had to feed the wolf. What?
And then she's like, you're a much better lover than him or something.
Yeah, like for what it's worth. And then Chris gets all like sentimental with her.
Yes.
And goes.
Like as though he was actually in love with her at
yes,
some point.
Yes, he says it. He was like, I would have given it to you. I loved
you. What do you mean?
It's been two fucking days.
Barely.
Sure.
Barely.
I know we don't know time here, but still.
Yeah. And what is... If she had just come to him and said, hey, give me all your money, is that what he meant? And honestly, I feel like a better scheme would have been to keep him alive and just feeding her money constantly. Like, they could have lived off of this man for a long time, just casually bleeding him of assets over an extended period. Like, this is just going to get them caught.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand the logic behind it.
Yeah, so now Chris is thumbless.
Well, he's still got one thumb.
He's got, just...
Hopefully the mouth thumb.
Hope he kept
the suck thumb.
I'd want to give that one away after all this, though, at that point. Take the one you
sucked. I never want to see this thumb again.
No, take the one that you sucked. Keep it as a souvenir.
Ew. So now, of course, it's Friday, the only day that we're aware of because Jamie shows up with Willow and they literally walk in on this mess. And Willow runs off and Skye finds her and she introduces herself as Chris's nurse to Jamie. And Jamie's like, I don't like this.
No.
This feels very wrong.
And she's holding Willow and she's like, put my daughter down. She's like, no. And then the daughter's like, put me the fuck down.
Yeah.
I'm quote unquote five.
No, she's not.
Yeah.
Sebastian shows up, and then they basically just lock the two of them in a closet with Chris.
Yeah.
Who is just, like, not doing so great.
Yeah, he's just kind of bleeding out on the floor. And Sky takes her phone and puts it in the microwave and turns it on. I'm sorry.
The most efficient way to break a cell phone.
Also, like, wouldn't the house just blow up at that point?
Yeah, I don't actually... Yeah, because weren't people putting their phones in microwaves at some point? Like, wasn't that a thing people were doing? Because they were saying, like, to dry them out or something. Or am I making something up?
No, you might be right. You might be right.
Okay. I just want to Google it real quick because, like, I sound like a crazy person.
Right no, now. But I really think, like, you know how, like, you'd put battery in fucking rice? People are like, well, you can't put it in rice, so we'll just put it in the fucking microwave. I believe only true Pollocks would do myself included.
True idiots would do it. There's some things on the internet saying that to save your phone from being bugged, you microwave it. So this feels like something that, like, QAnon started as a trolling initiative. And then people just actually microwave their phones.
Wow.
Anyway.
Genius.
Sorry, I digress. So Sky and Sebastian take Chris's thumb to the bank.
I have to admit, this was a very clever...
Was clever, because I was like, how are they going to get away with this? Uh-huh. Like, how is he just going to be like, oh yeah, this is my thumb.
And pulls out a thumb and goes...
And separate from my body. But they kind of, like, wrap his hand in, like, a soft cast.
Yeah, with a sling, so it looks like he's...
Yeah, so he conceals his... the fact that the thumb is not actually attached to his hand. So it doesn't work on the scanner the first couple of times, and then it randomly works on the third time, like, just enough time for the banker guy to start, like, I don't know, this feels sus.
And it was funny, though, because the whole time I'm like, watch, the thumb just falls out of the fucking cast. And then
this was a different kind of movie.
Oh, yeah.
That would have happened.
But he said, he's like, oh, the heat signature. It's a heat signature.
Yeah, and that's a cold.
And that's a cold thumb. Fucking thumb. That is cold.
They kept that on ice.
Yeah, they did.
So anyway, they get in. But when they open the bearer's bonds box, there's a fucking letter in it from Jamie explaining that her attorney advised her to steal the bearer's bonds from Chris to use as leverage in the divorce should he attempt to screw her over. That's wild legal advice.
Wild legal advice, because if we're comparing apples to oranges here, I don't think he could screw her over, just not give her money, like, because it's not like he's going to take her money, because she doesn't, I mean, he doesn't need it.
He has all the assets, she has the child,
right.
And it didn't even seem like they had a custody issue, and I think these bearer bonds are in his name, they're an asset of his, like, they're not
theirs. I was actually kind of confused that she had the power to go in there and get them.
Right.
Without his thumbprint.
I guess maybe her thumbprint is on the account,
too.
Oh,
might be. Okay. I thought it was just
But that's still. Fucking wild, honestly. It's such a bad...
You know what would have been a great twist? Again, if we wrote the movie, okay?
If we wrote the movie.
If Sebastian was playing role of her attorney this whole time. Hear me out.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Because she says, he's like, well, where are they? And she's like, I just moved them to another box.
Right.
So it's like he'd still be able to get access to them because...
Well, he would need her thumb.
Yeah. Well, unless... I don't know.
Unless what?
I don't know. But I just feel like it would have been... Listen, there would have been more interesting developments had there been a connection with her somehow and them. That he got to them... He got to her, too, in some aspect. Like, oh, if I can't get it out of this guy... She's the next one that I can...
Well, I mean, the next thing that they're going to do is go back to the house to get her thumb. Because now they need to get into her account to access these bearer bonds. But this whole time, Chris has had a brilliant idea of how to get out of this closet because there's an air vent. And guess who is the only person small enough amongst them...
Poor Willow.
...to go through the air vent. They send their 5-year-old daughter through this air vent to the outside of the house, because I guess that's the only place it goes. And so when she's outside, she has to let herself back in to be able to go get her parents. They get back to the house, as this little girl is running back inside. Mm-hmm. Like, it is fucking close.
Very close.
I cannot understand how they do this with this little girl. I know it was their only chance of escape, maybe, but, like, was it, though?
I mean, from what we could see.
I don't know. It was risky.
They were in a closet with windows, though. I could have sworn there were windows. So
if there had to have been another way. I can't believe that there was not another way out of there.
And how does a vent just go to outside?
I mean, I guess that's where, I don't know. I don't know anything about house ventilation, so I really can't speak to it. But Sebastian and Skye get back to the house. Sebastian tells Skye if she sees Chris, she has to kill him. But he finds Chris first, and they get into a scuffle. And Sebastian keeps yelling at Skye to shoot Chris, mm-hmm. but she ends up shooting Sebastian instead, yep. which is like a weird moment because...
Like, what are you proving here?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they were really trying to emphasize that she's also a victim in some way because she was abused and raised by this man to be this monster.
True.
But I do think she enjoyed this. Like, I don't really feel like we get the sense that she's unwilling, unwilling participant in any of this until the end. And it's because of her feelings for Chris. Because, of course, she has, like, some real...
Major real eye love. Roll. Yeah, I don't...
For him. Yeah, it was gross.
Don't feel sorry for her. Whatsoever.
Nah. So, while she's distracted, Chris, like, stabs her in the neck with something. But she's still... on her feet.
Okay, so he's tracking her through his phone, and he's
he like finally cuts gets the lights. His
phone. Yeah, he cuts the lights.
Cuts the lights, and now he's watching on infrared. Yes, which is fun.
That was fun. And then he manages to with an axe. It's something crazy.
With an axe.
He gets her in the shoulder, right?
Yeah, it's like collarbone.
There is no blood.
Yeah, she seems totally fine, and actually her hair looks fantastic.
Wrote that down. Yep, looked phenomenal.
She's been through hell and back, and not to mention her hair was in a very nice, sophisticated updo at the bank.
Yes.
And I guess she's torn it down for the fight scene.
Never works for me. Also,
never makes sense.
Yeah, mine would be all dented and shit. Hers looked great. Like, she did, like, a...
Beautiful.
It was a Vidal Sassoon commercial.
But yes, and no blood marring no blood. Any of it.
You get whacked with some type of thing in your shoulder, collarbone, whatever the fuck, and literally no blood. She's not limping. She doesn't look like her arm's still fully functioning. So I don't know exactly what happened there, but...
Yeah, another movie with really dark fight scene. And I mean, like, I know this was intentional because... he cut the power so that there wouldn't be any lights, but it was hard to see that moment. And so I even have in my notes, I'm like, he hits her with something ? Because I thought that it was a knife or like a machete, but it does so little damage that I'm like, was it like a coat hanger? Like, what did he get her with?
Like, it wasn't anything sharp. It was just like a bludgeoned item. Still, it just...
She didn't take any damage. Right.
There was no injury there.
But so they continue to fight, and this is like a real battle. And I guess he is still disabled, so he's not really doing so great. And Jamie has to intervene, and she starts getting in on the fight. But for some reason, again, Skye seems to have gotten the better of both of them, and she is in a very menacing position over the two of them. And there's a gunshot, and it's Willow. It is the 5-year-old child who has... assessed the situation, figured out the danger in the situation, picked up the gun, figured out how to use the gun, aimed it properly, and kills this woman with one shot.
One shot. She had perfect one form. One shot. They
perfect form.
They pan away because obviously you have Skye basically dropped to the ground at that point. Mm-hmm. And behind you see Willow, and the way she's holding it perfectly, it doesn't
look... She's done
it
a million times.
Does not look heavy in her hands, because I'm sorry, a 5-year-old's hand, that's too heavy to be able
the
to execute.
The kickback would have knocked her on her ass.
Thank you. She is a professional. She assassinates for a living.
She's a sharpshooter. She's a sleeper agent. Like, they're going to send her to assassinate all of the highest world leaders mm-hmm. because no one's going to suspect a 5-year-old child, as they shouldn't. No. It was insane. And so aside from just the unbelievability of this, I felt so sad for this little girl.
The look on her face after that was so sad.
Devastating. And my main objection here is, so when Chris and Sky are really getting into it fighting, she's going to kill him. Like, she's got him on the ropes. Mm-hmm. Jamie comes to his defense at that moment. Jamie should have taken their child and fucking left that house.
Yeah.
I don't care if that means Chris dies. Your number one priority. I'm not even a mom. I don't even like kids, but I know that your number one priority needs to be getting that child out of that house.
It's like she wasn't to her. Even looking for her.
No.
They weren't calling out for her.
What kid?
Nothing. Nothing.
No. Yeah. Nobody seemed concerned about where she was. Nobody made sure she was safe where she was, that she wasn't going to see anything.
I was going to say, upsetting. I think the only thing, and again, not trying to defend here, but the only thing.
How dare you?
The only thing I could think of is that they realized, well, Sebastian's dead and Skye's right there. So wherever she is, she's got to be okay because she's not here in the line of fire right now. That's the only thing I could think of. And also that Chris is so disabled at this point that Jamie really was the only one physically kind of able to fight back. Because Chris would have been able to shoot a gun if he had a gun on him or whatever. But, like, he's on the ground. He can't walk. He can't really do anything that's not in close proximity to him. So Jamie was really the only one that could really fight back.
Sure, but you sacrificed him for your daughter.
Which I think because... they kind of were about to, because once...
Well, no! Fucking Sky was literally going to kill both of them. Uh-huh. And then Willow would have been parentless. Like, they're morons. Like, I think about it in the way, if we're not going to talk about, like, a violent situation, but, like, a house fire.
Hmm.
If your husband is in a different room and your child is in a different room, who is it your responsibility to get out of that house? If both of them can't make it, who are you going to go for?
You're right.
Which is a horrible decision to have to make. But it's an obvious choice.
Yep, yep, you're right.
Ugh.
So, you know, Skye's out on the ground, and her last fucking words, which is so stupid.
Did this remind you of another movie we covered? Perhaps the first movie we covered?
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right.
Her name was Margaret too, right?
I think so. Yes. She's laying there, bleeding out, dying, and you just hear, Margaret, like... in the corner, and he's like, what? Like, what the fuck do you want?
With her dying breath.
He's like,
this is what she does.
Yeah, and then she's like, my real name is Margaret. And then, like.
And Chris literally could not look more like, okay, cool, but right. Like, fuck you.
Like, he I don't really need to know this now.
Yeah, he's like, I don't care.
Like, is that her proof? Like, I loved you too. Here's my real name.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it seems like she is telling us that she had legitimate feelings for this man to the point where she wouldn't kill him when Sebastian wanted her to, and that he gets to know the real her when so many people don't.
Yeah, well.
But it's gross. Like, it's too little too late. Again, like, I really don't think that they spent enough time developing her victimhood, and she really did seem to enjoy the process up until Sebastian got involved, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. I honestly didn't expect her to have an accomplice. Like, obviously,
no,
the trailer gives the whole thing away. But leading up to, like, if you were just watching the movie, never saw the trailer, it did seem like it was just her. Like, she kind of had it down pat. She knew what she was doing.
Right, yeah. And the motive is weak. I think they could have done something better, or at least explained how she's been getting away with it for this long. Because again, if they're killing all of these people, mm-hmm. that should be a really difficult thing to outrun. And if they're not killing these people, how are they not being caught? It just feels like a really inefficient way to steal money.
Yeah.
There's got to be an easier way to do it with less violence involved. And maybe other people were not as stubborn as Chris and were just like, yeah, here you go. Here's all my shit. And they didn't have to resort to any of these ridiculous measures, but...
But then how did they not call it, I guess, threats? But I was going to say, like, if that was the case, when they've called the cops and...
Yeah, well, that's my thing, though. Like, I would have done that if they had left me alive and I had given them everything. I would have been like, hello, 911, I was just fucking robbed.
Yeah.
And I would try to get them caught, for sure. but that doesn't even occur to Chris. He's gotta keep his hands on all his money.
Yeah.
All those bearer's bonds. I have no idea what a bearer's bond is.
I don't either. It was just a fun combination of words to say.
I don't need to know necessarily, but it was just kind of like, okay. I guess that's something rich people are probably aware of.
Yeah.
I'm not in the correct tax bracket.
No, I don't think I would ever need to know what a bearer's bond is. Did she have to kill Lisa? I don't think she was that much of a threat.
No, really. I don't think so either. Unless maybe she thought that Lisa might try to intervene or get her back. Because, like, she was moving out and Lisa was so upset about it. Maybe she thought that Lisa would stalk follow her and then, like, just make things messy. I feel like she could have waited until that point before killing her, but I guess it was easy enough to do given that Lisa was a bit unstable, had a drug problem, and just wouldn't be missed.
Yeah, eventually. Like she picked the right patsy for that scenario.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What a ride.
What a ride on our
snowtercycle.
If anybody wants to give us the real name, but I don't think we need it.
No, I don't want the real name. I want to continue to believe that this is the real name for that motor vehicle.
Yep, a snowtercycle. Wow. I'm glad you chose this because it's right up our alley.
Me too.
And I was a little excited for it because when I saw the cast, I'm like, great. And then I was reading reviews and like one of the first ones I read, it was like a wasted talent. And I'm like, oh no. Oh no, this is going to be bad. And then the minute the first lines were said, I'm like, oh, this script is not good.
Yeah, because it opens with really boring, really obvious exposition of his relationship with the wife.
Yep.
And so it's just like, oh, okay, we're going to do all telling, no showing in this movie.
Yep.
Got it.
Yep. As he's on a freaking like Peloton. We're too stupid to figure it out. On his balcony overlooking like snowy woods. Like it was just like very...
So much foreshadowing.
Oh, yeah.
Gonna lose the use of that leg, sir.
It was a fun ride for what it was.
Yes.
Next week is a movie that I have seen. It cracks me up because I had my cousins watch it. They actually texted me. My cousin Jackie goes, are you doing this on the podcast? And I hadn't said anything. And I said, yep, in a few weeks. So I'm going to have to rewatch. And Rachel goes, rewatch, you poor thing. And Jackie goes, laugh my ass off. Oh my God, it's so bad. So to help you out, if you have not seen it already, I guess I'm not the only one that thought that this was horrendous.
Great.
But sometimes, again, when I pick movies, you may like it. You may like it. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. We'll see.
We will see. So we'll see.
It happens every once in a while.
Yeah. So next week is The Strays, which you can find on Netflix. So if you want to watch it and tune in to... You should tune in anyway. But if you want to watch and then hear us go over it, which I really hope you hate it because... Oof.
No pressure.
No pressure. None whatsoever. So, yeah. And then next week we will announce a surprise.
Our super secret special project.
Yes.
It's going to be a project. That's what I'm calling it.
It is a project. Well, I'm working on the promo and I'm like, how the fuck am I going to break this down? Because it's, guys, it's 4 weeks of jam-packed stuff. It's going to be jam-packed.
Yeah. It's going to be a marathon. So buckle up because we're on a journey.
For those who are fans of this, hopefully they will appreciate our 2 cents because...
Our hot takes.
Our hot takes. We'll say we may fucking fall in love with it. We don't know.
I doubt it. This was why we didn't do it initially, because you thought you were going to like it.
I'm afraid. I'm a little afraid.
You may well, but I can tell you right now, I'm going to hate this shit. So this is going to be my new Emily in Paris.
Ooh, guys, I hope we're getting you excited, because it's going to be a ride. So yeah, so be on the lookout for what we have coming up. And you know where to find us on Twitter and, well, X, whatever you want to call it. Instagram, the website, and is there anything you would like to add?
Absolutely. April 11th is National Pet Day.
Oh.
So whatever your pet may be, if it's a dog, if it's a cat, if it's an iguana or a fish or a bird, appreciate your pet
yes,
today
you have to.
And all days.
Yeah.
And then also it is National Cheese Fondue Day.
Oh, anything with cheese. Let's go.
So I will be going to the Melting Pot to get my cheese fondue fix.
There you go. I've never been there.
And
you knew this already.
We should go. I know, we should go together. I feel like the last time you said this, I had the same reaction. I was like, we need to go together.
That would be an experience for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I fucking love the Melting Pot. I'm religious about the Melting Pot, but I can't go very often because it's so decadent.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
But just thinking of cheese on everything, oh God, the idea.
It's a dining experience. I'm sure. It's not just cheese.
Well, no, I know that, but I mean, you know me, I love my cheese. I just like, that would be enough for me. You know what I mean? I wouldn't even need everything else.
Yes. We could just go and have cheese. You don't have to have the whole meal. But then once you're there, you're like, oh, but the chocolate does sound good.
Yeah, I mean, anything coming out of a fondue machine probably is going to be good.
Wow. Now I gotta go. Gotta go so bad.
All right, you heard it here first, guys. Yes, and until next time.